the year of the monkey. This year, next week, we shall be entering into this year of the monkey. So we say goodbye to the year of the goat. We have only about 7-8 days more. And we say goodbye to the goat and we welcome the monkey, supposed to be a red monkey. Whatever it is, you are privileged, you are the first assembly to whom I'm going to address the study of the year of the monkey. And we start with today, Pathway Gospel Hall. Next week, I go on to Burma Road Gospel Hall, and that will be Chinese New Year Eve, because the next day will be Chinese New Year. And I will be able to welcome Chinese New Year with them at Burma Road Gospel Hall. After that, we'll go on to Island Glades Gospel Center, and then from there to Sungai Ara Gospel Hall, and lastly, we'll come over to Bukit Mekajang. And that will finish my series of studies on the year of the monkey. Now, last year, or this year still, will be the year of the sheep, the ram, which I studied with you when I was here last year. Now, by way of introduction to the study of the year of the monkey, let's talk about the monkey years first. In other words, those who were born in the year of the monkey. Now, who could they be? Well, if you were born in 1920, I do not want to go earlier than that because I don't think you're older than that year. 1920, 1932, 1944, 1956, then you are monkeys. Or later on, 1968, 1980, 1992, 204, you are definitely a monkey. And if any of the children or grandchildren should be born from the February the 8th to 2016 till January 27th, 2017, then you are going to have a monkey in your family. Right. The year after that will be the year of the rooster. And it comes in very early. You will notice January 28th. That will be the second early year compared to if you look at 2004 when Chinese New Year came in on the 22nd. That was the earliest truth in this table. And so we next year we must be prepared for an early Chinese New Year up to February the 15th. 2018, the year of the rooster. It's not surprising because the youth rooster is responsible for waking us up early to greet the dawn. So that's why it comes in early. Alright, some of you may be wondering, what's all this study of these animals? Well, these animals have to do with astronomy and astrology of the, it's called the zodiac, where the longitudinal lines of the globe are divided into 12 sectors, and then they are each given an animal sign. And these are in relation to the constellations in space. And so the Chinese have introduced these animals, and well, it should start off with the red. You will start off with the rat and the ox and so on. And those of you who are Chinese and who are older would know this familiar rhyme. It too, gu, sa, ho, si, ho, and so on. When you were young, you were made to memorize all this, to remember the names of these animals. Alright. Now, the rooster would be during the 10th already of the zodiac cycle. And when did I begin studying all these animals? Now, I want you to know this. Although the zodiac is associated with astronomy, and then later on converted into astrology, fortune-telling, with the signs of the animals, that those who are born under that sign, certain things will happen and so on. So a lot of people go into fortune telling based on the zodiac. But I'm not doing any of these things. What I'm doing is I'm taking opportunity of these animals on the occasion of Chinese New Year's to find them in the Bible and to do a study of them in the Bible. I started this in the year 1983. That will be 33 years ago. Every single year I have been preaching and studying on these animals. But lately, the last few years, the study is different. Although the essence of the study is the same, but the presentation is different. For the first time since I learned the PowerPoint slides, I started using PowerPoint slides. So before, I did not know how I managed to pass over the study of these animals without PowerPoint, because they would have to imagine a lot of things. But today, I'm able to present you the pictures and the images in order that you might have a better understanding of what I'm talking about. So that was 33 years ago, you know, every single year. And I think 2 more years I will end, should the Lord allow me to go on. Because that will be enough for my ministry. Alright, those of you who are familiar with the English zodiac, then you are familiar with these animals too. They are the same, like Sagittarius, Scorpio, Libra, Virgo, and so on. Alright, they are the same. But perhaps after I finish this Chinese cycle, I may start on the English cycle. I'm not sure. See whether I can find them in the Bible or not. Alright. Now, those who believe in fortune telling and zodiac believe that those people born under those signs will have certain marks, certain characteristics. For example, you test yourself. If you are a monkey, I'm sorry, I'm just talking figuratively only. I'm not saying you're literally a monkey. But if you're a monkey, it says that you are supposed to be witty, intelligent, have a magnetic personality. Your personality traits like mischievousness, curiosity, cleverness make you very naughty. Though they don't have any bad intentions, their pranks sometimes hurt the feelings of others. Monkeys are fast learners and crafty opportunists. They have many interests and need partners who are capable of stimulating them if you are searching for wives or husbands. While some like the eccentric nature of monkeys, some don't trust their sly, restless, and inquisitive nature. They are clever and creative. Monkeys can't always exhibit their intent properly. Monkeys like to take challenges and they prefer urban life to rural. Now, I do not want to ask those monkeys to put up their hands, because if you do so, I know your age already. So ladies are very shy of that, so I leave them to you. But I would like you to note this. This is a sort of a fortune telling for the year. And based on this, these fortune tellers also give fortune telling for the month and for the day. So that, for example, in the star paper and so on, you find a daily forecast of what the stars foretell and so on. Alright? If you're going for this, beware. Do not be inclined to go into this fortune telling, because the Bible and God prohibit it. Deuteronomy chapter 18, 9 to 14 says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not imitate the detestable customs of those nations. I jump on to save time. Verse 14. Though these nations you are about to drive out, listen to fortune tellers and diviners, that would include astrology, feng shui. The Lord your God has not permitted you to do this. Please, as Christians, you must not be involved in all these things. Spend your time not reading what the stars foretell early in the morning from the papers, but spend your time reading the Word of God and know what His will is for you that day. Alright, now let's come on to the study of the monkey. First, we shall look at a monkey as a mammal. A mammal, alright? We know that. It's a primate. The primate, it belongs to the primate family, the monkeys, the chimpanzee, the baboon, the ape, orangutan, some more of the monkey groups. There are plenty of them. Alright, these will be monkeys. Can we find any of these in the scriptures? That's our task and our problem. Alright, monkeys. Now, monkeys, when we say a monkey and you are a monkey, we may also refer to a person. The person. And a person who behaves like a monkey or looks even like a monkey, we may call that person a monkey. And I was called a monkey when I was young. My uncle always called me a monkey. He called me Maru. Maru would be Japanese for monkey. So, why? Because I was always mischievous. I was jumping around, could not keep still, could not stay still, like a monkey. And he would call Maru. And I know who he was calling already. Monkey. That was my nickname at that time. Alright? Well, if you look at a monkey, you may be called a monkey. Alright? And you behave like a monkey, you may be a monkey. Well, so a monkey can refer to a real primate or even a person who has the behavior and characteristic of a monkey. And, well, you may be one. Who knows? Alright. Now, that's not surprising because in scripture, we find that animals are also used as figures for people. For example, Isaiah 53, 6 and 7, all we like sheep have gone astray. We are referred to as sheep. Verse 7, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Even the Lord Jesus Christ was referred to as an animal name, a lamb led to the slaughter. So it's not surprising. And again, we find that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, do not give holy things to dogs. Don't cast pearls before swine or pigs. So, these are not actual swine or actual dogs, but they are people who are regarded as dogs or pigs. Alright, so I'm saying all this to show the justification of the use of animals for people, because I will refer to people later on in the study of the monkey. Now, the monkeys in mythology. Monkeys are very featured very much in mythologies and also in fables and fairy tales. Alright, for example, even in Buddhism and Taoism, we have the classic 16th century novel, The Journey to the West. It's going to come soon in on your television screen. I think New Year time, the series will be screened on the television. Alright, it speaks of the adventures of Shao Wujin, the lieutenant who was cast out from heaven to earth. Sun Wukong, that's the person that you want to refer to. He's the monkey king. He's the monkey. And, well, you saw this picture this on a billboard just last month, and how much trouble it created for our other friends. They could not stand the sight of Zubaji, the pig, and that picture of him was covered up or deleted from the billboard. Now, that will be the feature of the monkey in the Chinese astro-mythology. You have the monkey also in Hinduism. For example, you have Hanuman, the king, the monkey god. And by the way, I was very familiar with monkeys when I was young. Because not only was I called a monkey, but I was very familiar with the story of Kautilya. And I myself went to worship the monkey god, Kautilya. I went to the temple in Hutton Lane, and there I worshipped the monkey god. And so, the monkey god, Kautilya, is not a stranger to me. Now you have also, in Hinduism, Hanuman. And he was also a monkey god, in the stories of Ramayana. Also, you have it in Egypt, where you have Thor as a baboon. All right. So the monkey features very much in religion. Now, what does the Bible say? Romans 1:21-23, of people who, knowing God, do not regard God as God, but turn God into the image of animals. And God is definitely angry because they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. So we should have nothing to do with all these things. Right, now the monkey in the Bible. Wait, may I ask any one of you here, where can you find a monkey in the Bible? What am I going to say about the monkey? Anyone give me book, chapter, and verse where the monkey occurs? Anyone? No one? No one? Then what am I going to say? For your information, when I look at my notes 12 years ago, I discovered that I visited the assemblies 2 sessions for the year of the monkey. 1 session is not enough, but now I've got to squeeze 2 into 1. 2 sessions. And all talking about the monkey. And you cannot even name me 1 verse. Anyone? Not one. Alright, you can find it if you have your Bible. Mr. Sim, you have found one, Mr. Sim? Right? You are so right. Good. You don't find the word monkey, but you will find Solomon had ships of Tarshish at sea with Hiram's fleet. And once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish would arrive bearing gold, silver, ivory, apes. That will be the monkey in that family. So monkeys were there. Monkeys are mentioned in the Bible. You have a corresponding verse in... You have a cross-reference? Mr. Sim? Mr. Slow, sorry. Mr. Slow, sorry. I don't see why. Sorry. You have a corresponding verse? Parallel verse to 1 Kings. No. Alright. There's a parallel verse. If you look at the margin, you'll find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 21. I'm taking this from the HCSB, Holman's Christian Study Bible, and it reads, the king's ships kept going to Tarshish with Hiram's servants. And once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish would arrive bearing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. Now, why do I highlight peacocks? Peacocks definitely are not monkeys. All right. What is my justification for highlighting peacocks? All right, let's look at the authorities. What do they say? Only 2 parallel alluded references are found of the monkey in King James Version, those 2 verses. Apes and peacocks brought from Tarshish by navies of Solomon and Hiram to Solomon every 3 years. The monkey in the ape. Firstly, the ape, definitely a monkey. Alright, it belongs to the monkey family, Gophe in Hebrew. Etymologically, Gophe may not be a Hebrew word, but is derived from Sanskrit kepe, which means swift, nimble, active, or from the Greek kepos, long-tailed monkey. And so we find that there is justification to see a monkey in the Bible. So, because at that time in Palestine, there were no monkeys there or in the region. But it is likely they have could go to Tarshish to find monkeys and baboons. No apes have been found in Palestine. And so the baboons could be there. Alright? Baboons were also well known in Egypt. The god Thoth was often represented by a baboon. geographically, they were from Tarshish. We are not sure where Tarshish would be. Some people think that it could be in Spain, some in the Malabar coast of India, Ceylon, and perhaps, as in the case of Jonah fled to Tarshish, just to the west. So we are not sure where Tarshish is. But one thing we are sure, to go from Palestine to Tarshish would take a ship 3 years to and from to reach the place. So it's a place that was quite distant. Alright, now we have dealt with the ape. It's a monkey. Alright, and that justifies us for studying it. Peacock. Why do we put peacock in the family of the monkeys? Well, it is the Hebrew word tukijim. And etymologically, the Hebrew term is similar to an Egyptian word for monkeys. In inscriptions found in expeditions to Somaliland, it may be a reference to old world monkeys from East Africa. That's from its authority. And that's why you find that in certain modern Bible translations, like J.B. Phillips and the NIV, it translates baboons for peacocks. No peacocks there. Am I right? Those of you use NIV, because I don't use NIV. Is that right? Anyone with NIV? No. That's surprising. That's surprising. Well, if you look up NIV, you will find baboons instead of peacocks. And if you look up the New English Bible, you'll find monkey. So now I have my justification to say that there are monkeys in the Bible. And we are going to study these monkeys and see what lessons we can learn from them. So historically, just as these monkeys were brought to King Solomon, we find there was a record of monkeys being given to the Assyrian king. So it was a true incident that monkeys were given as tributes and gifts to monarchs. Monkey as gifts to monarch, to the king. The monkeys were periodic gifts. The ships from Tarshish, well, the ships would go to Tarshish and return every 3 years. And every 3 years, they would bring in the apes and the monkeys for King Solomon. Perhaps he had a museum, or perhaps he had a zoo full of these exotic animals. It was given regularly every 3 years, right? Now, this search for monkeys, what lesson can we learn? We can also learn this search for monkeys that was given to Solomon, or Solomon giving the instruction to search for monkeys, as a reminder of the one who would be greater than Solomon. Christ himself said that he was greater than Solomon in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. And he would be the one who would be given, who would go out to search for monkeys. Who are these monkeys? They are the lost sinners. Lost sinners. That's why in Luke 19:10, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I come to seek and to save that which was lost." Just as Solomon sent out people to search for monkeys, so the Lord Jesus Christ, greater than Solomon, sent out his people to search for monkeys. But first he set the precedent, he himself went to search. "I come to seek and to save that which was lost." Then remember also in Matthew 13, 45 and 46, he told of a parable of a merchantman who found a pearl of great price, and he sold all that he had in order to purchase the pearl of great price, the church, for him. Alright. Look at his last words before he left. What did he say to his disciples? Go and search for monkeys. Go and search for lost sinners. Go into the world to save. Go into the world to preach the gospel. And we find that as his last words, his commission to preach the gospel. And not only to his disciples, but to all witnesses in Acts 1:8, that and the witnesses will be given the power of the Holy Spirit to go out to first evangelize in Judea, Judea, in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so this is a challenge to us. When we talk of monkeys, in this year of the monkey, can we be reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ has given a command and a commission to all of us here to go out and search for like monkeys or lost sinners, that we may bring them in. How do we go about it? You see, for example, in Bartle Gospel Hall at this moment, there are many empty seats in the pews around. Now we need to fill them. This year of the monkey is a challenge to all those who are in this assembly. What can you do? The strategy to search for live monkeys. We see what Solomon did. What did he do? Firstly, he needed a plan. A prayer plan. To plan out so that one, he would look at the goal, the purpose, the mission before him. What he would try to achieve these 3 years. The time duration is a 3-year plan. And the discipline, he would gather together all his resources to search for the live monkeys. And so, Butterworth Gospel Hall needs a plan. Needs a plan to look forward. To challenge them to evangelize the neighborhood. To bring in the people. To bring in the live monkeys. To bring in the lost sinners. In order that they may fill the palace of the king. First, he set up a navy ship. He had the merchant ships at hand. 1 Kings 9:26. Set up a people. Perhaps Butterworth Gospel Hall needs to set up a committee to look into evangelization, to look into how to bring people in. I'm so glad that I think I read somewhere that the new committee has even thought of starting a gospel meeting to bring in the people, to prepare things so that those sinners outside can be brought in. Secondly, a new alliance formed with Hiram's army. That's the second strategy. If you find yourself sometimes difficult to start because you are too small, perhaps you should join Bumeru Gospel Hall. Bumeru Gospel Hall has 1 year already started to revive the Sunday Gospel meeting. And since then, of course, at the very beginning, there was a big attendance. But now it has stabilized to about at least about 50 to 60 people every Sunday. And every gospel meeting, we have seen unbelievers being brought in. And we are seeing souls being saved. Now, that's very important. And because many of the assemblies in Penang today do not hold any more gospel meetings on a Sunday, here's your chance to bring in the navy of Hiram, and then join in. Bring your friends to the Bumeru Hall Gospel meeting so that they will also come under the sound of God's word. And I'd like you to note, please, that while the ships went out, while the navies went out to search, what did the people in the state do? They brought in gifts and their resources. They presented to the king. 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 25. They brought in vessels of gold. They brought in silver. They brought in whatever they could. And they cast themselves before the king. And said, we are ready to help and serve. And so the nation is involved. It is not only the leaders who are involved. Everyone is involved to bring a friend to the gospel meeting so that he may come under the sound of God's word. So the nation is involved, and the sacrifice, you need sacrifice, sacrifice of your time, sacrifice of your money. Now to prepare for the gospel meeting in Bumeru Hall, if you notice, if you pass by Bumeru Hall, you find big banners there announcing about the gospel meeting. And you will find also money being spent after the meeting to have some refreshments. And this refreshment costs money. But why the refreshments? So that those people who are brought in can stay back and talk and make new friends. And through these new friendships, people come to know the Lord. So perhaps Butterworth Gospel Hall needs to have a strategy a strategy to go out, to reach out. The Corinthians, Christians, we had already studied, they sacrificed a lot in order for the gospel to be preached. So the monkeys were periodic gifts. The monkeys were also peculiar and precious gifts. Why are they called peculiar gifts? Because they were particularized probably as being the rarest articles on board the Navy, the naval ships. They were strange gifts for the king. I mean, why should people give monkeys to the king? Strange. Well, don't be surprised. When we bring in sinners to present to our king, it would be also strange. But these sinners, who are regarded as aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, these very strange changes, very strange presents to present to the king, will be regarded as peculiar and precious people unto him. And that's what we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, that we are a peculiar people. And even to Israel, God says, you are a peculiar people unto me, a special people. So these bright monkeys, lost sinners, will become precious unto the Lord. Alright, they were strange gifts for the king. They were special gifts to the king. Very special. The search for them took 2 navies, 3 years, involving a lot of sacrifice. Note the sacrifice of the Macedonian Christians in 2 Corinthians 8. What did they do? There was a navy that had gone out. But what did the people who remained behind do? They gave of the money in abundant ecstasy, filling with joy. And even when they were poor, out of the poverty they gave. And they were very liberal. They gave very generously. And they even sacrificed beyond what they could give in order that the poor Christians in Jerusalem could be helped. And they even begged Paul and company, please go and send our gifts to these people. But first, it says there, and I like this very much, they gave themselves first to the Lord. Not only did they give presents, but they gave themselves to the Lord. Now let me say this very frankly, Butterworth Gospel Hall. If you need to grow in evangelistic work, you need to be interested in missions. You need to be interested in missions and give towards missions. Let me tell you, today I can safely say, without being challenged, that Butterworth Hall is growing, and very fast, compared to the years before. Years before, Butterworth Hall hardly gave to any mission work. There were not much interest in missions. But since they went to a new building, there's tremendous interest in mission fields. They have given thousands of ringgit to missions. They have even sent out a large amount of money to Phuket Assembly to help them put up their center. First as a loan. Later on they decided, no, we will not give you that loan. We'll give you the money outright. And with the money, if you think that you have more than enough, build another center. And that's how today Butterworth Hall is growing. Every single month, first week of the month, they collect money to give to mission work. And they give away by the thousands. And the Lord is no debtor to what they give, and the Lord is blessing the work in Bamboro Gospel Hall because they learn to give. And not only that, they give, that they send out mission teams to help out in the various places. And even today, at this time, our sister Mei Lai is now in Song in Cambodia to relieve Dr. and Mrs. Chua so that they could come and have a rest in Malaysia. And so when the assembly is interested in mission work, it will definitely grow. As somebody has said, you do not evangelize, you will fossilize. You become a fossil. So if Butterworth wants to grow, they must evangelize. So we have dealt with the I come out now to the second part. We have dealt with the monkey, the mammal, the monkeys in mythology, the monkeys in the Bible, the monkeys that give to the monarch, the monkeys were periodic gifts, the monkeys were peculiar gifts, but precious. The monkeys were part of other gifts. Very quickly now, because I have not much time, I'd like to emphasize that apart from the monkeys and the apes that were brought in by the ships to Solomon after the search for them in Tarshish, there were other gifts that were given. For example, we read, for the king that had at sea a navy of Tarshish with a many navy of Hiram, once every 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, ivory. Three other gifts were brought along together with the apes and the monkeys. Gold, very quickly, because I don't have time here, I just tell you what it's all about. They brought in gold. Gold is a precious metal. Gold was first given by the people of Israel to Solomon. Alright? So much so that every year, we read in 1 Samuel 17, 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 14, 666 talents of gold were given every year to King Solomon. That was 25 tons of gold. Then we find that this gold was not common gold. Look at how it was described. It was supposed to be beaten gold for the shields of the soldiers in Solomon's army, pure gold for the vessels in his palace, the best gold for his throne. And if you care to look now at 1 Kings chapter 10, 18 to 20, you see how this throne is described. Beautiful. The throne is made of ivory, overlaid with gold. Six steps would lead up to the throne. And on either side of the throne would be one lion each. And then there will be six lions on the steps. Beautiful throne. Now, the king had all this. There's a question which we need to ask. And I shall ask later in connection with silver. Silver. The people also gave him silver. But he did not want the silver. And we read, because the silver, according to him, King Solomon, was the least of all values. But he still accepted the silver. And he did not use the silver in his palace, because everything was made of gold. He took the silver and he gave back. He gave back to the people. Alright? So that it said that the silver in the land was as common as stones in the land. And so he did not use it at all, except to give back. Now question comes in. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 17, it says very clearly, God says, kings must not multiply unto themselves gold and silver. Therefore, should the king be searching for gold and silver when he has so much gold already in the land and silver in the land? Now, why did God prohibit the kings from getting gold and silver and horses from Egypt and so on? Because God wanted them to rely on him and not rely on the resources that were made available to them. And so God prohibited kings from basing their strength on all these resources, but to trust God always. And that's what we need to do too. So gold, silver, and ivory. Imagine, his whole throne was made of ivory. And not only that, we find that other kings also copied Solomon. King Ahab, he made a house, a palace, and the whole palace was made of ivory. And we read that in 1 Kings 22:39. And everything was made of ivory in his house. Now, he was indeed arrogant. He was indeed opulent, trying to show off. He was indeed disobedient because God told him not to multiply gold and silver. And no wonder we read Amos 3:15, God said, I'll destroy you, Ahab, for building all those ivory houses. And true enough, today, even in Samaria, through archaeological studies, we find that you can still find the remnants of the ivory houses. I will smite the winter house with the summer house, all men of ivory, and the house of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. And today, we find that you still have the remnants of the house of Ahab, made of ivory. Hundreds of fragments of ivory were found there. They tell a real testimony to the truth of what's stated in Scripture. All right. Finally, there were still other gifts given regularly, this time every year, by the people that gave the king gifts as tithes and tributes. All right, 1 Kings 10:25. Let's compare this with 1 Corinthians 16 very quickly. The period they gave every year, year by year, and our responsibility, first day of the week, 16:1, let everyone lay by him in store. The people, every man, 1 Kings 10:25. For the church, that every one of you, the purpose they brought, every man they brought for the church, let him lay by him purposely. The present they brought, every man his present for the king. For the church, let every one of you lay by him in store. The proportion, how much? A rate of a certain amount that they have purpose to give to the king. For us, as God has prospered. And so we need to give. We need to give. Part of the Gospel Hall, individuals need to give to mission work. The church as a whole need to give to mission work. I'm wondering, and I give this as a challenge, as an individual, have you ever given to any missionary yourself? As a church, have you ever given to missionaries in the abroad, apart from those who come to visit you? Have you? Now, this is a challenge, that you must be interested in missions. And when you give to missions, God will bless. And so, finally, I end. The mistakes made by the monkey's monarch. At the commencement, when Solomon was made king, Solomon asked, when God asked him, what do you want? Give me wisdom. Wisdom enough. And God was so happy. God gave him not only wisdom, God gave him wealth, God gave him honor, and God gave him help. At the conclusion of his life, Solomon made the mistake of multiplication. God said, do not multiply as a monarch. Do not multiply horses. He went to Egypt to get more horses. Do not multiply wives. He went and he had many, many wives. It's terrible. And concubines. We read that in 1 Kings 11:1-4. Don't multiply silver and gold. He went and he searched for silver and gold. And so we find that at the end of it all, the last days of Solomon were bad days. God did not regard those days, because those days to God did not exist. They were all lost. Lost years. Years that the locusts have eaten. Because Solomon did not trust God, but trusted in his resources. So, for the current year of the monkey, to all of us, let us avoid multiplying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will add to us. Not seek ye first these other things. It must be the other way around. Don't multiply horses. Trust not in horses and chariots. We discussed that in the year of the horse already. Trust not in wives. Take care, young men, young women, who your spouses are. Love your wife and be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do not multiply your wealth. Wealth is good, but don't just make it that intention just to multiply your wealth so that God is put aside. Lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. If you do all this and you multiply all this, at the end of it all, what is going to be the result? Who shall all these things be which thou hast provided? Thou fool, today your life will be taken away. And what happens to all these things? Right. Multiply monkeys, but not horses. Go out to Egypt. Go not to Egypt for horses, but go to Tarshish for monkeys. A blessed and fruitful year of the monkey to all of you, with prayers for many to go out to Tarshish, this assembly here, bring back many live monkeys, lost sinners, to be presented to and for the worship of the King this year and the years to follow. And with this, I end. And those of you who would like to have the notes, you can always visit my website for the notes. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, even in this year, coming year of the monkey, we can learn precious lessons from Thy word about the monkey as gifts to the King. Lord, help us to bring our gifts to Thee, to acknowledge Thee as the Majesty, the King of our lives. We pray for this assembly here, that we may see growth in this assembly. We may see the interest in missions arising out of in this year, so that we may find more and more coming in to join in the tribute to be paid to the King. Lord, bless all of us, we do pray. Once again, we remember the bereaved family of the host. We thank you, Lord, for giving good rest to our Mr. Ho Yi Singh, who is now in the arms of the Lord Jesus, enjoying his mansion and enjoying the environment and the peace around him, but above all, enjoying the person whom he loves so much. Pray for Mrs. Ho, Kenny and family, and other relatives and friends who mourn with them. Lord, let the comfort of thy spirit be with them, we do pray. We ask thee all these things because we want the honor and the glory to be given unto thee. Thank you, Lord, and we ask all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.